So, Chaitanya is in Jagannath Puri, and the devotees have come, and they asked him a question. How do you know who a devotee is? And this question was asked 3 years in a row, and this is the second year. The first year, the answer was, one who chants Hare Krishna is a devotee. Second year, the answer was, one who's always chanting is a devotee. And the third year, the answer was, one who upon seeing makes others chant is a devotee. So he was actually describing Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttama devotees. So in this verse, he's describing the Madhyam. So, this... That's Kanishtha. Kanishtha. One who chants the holy name at least once is Kanishtha. One is always chanting. In other words, at that point he's initiated, so he's either always chanting or he's always engaged. And that means he's initiated, he's always chanting. Madhyam. I mean, there are many definitions of Madhyam Kanishtha. This is there's definitions of Madhyam Kanishtha in terms of faith, in terms of knowledge, in terms of chanting. And then there's definitions of Madhyam Kanishtha and Uttama in terms of qualifications. So it's not just level, but sometimes it's qualification. You have the best qualification if you have more knowledge and more faith. You have less knowledge, less faith, you have less qualification. And Kanishtha, you know, there's a little bit of faith and not much knowledge. And Madhyam has faith and he has knowledge, but he doesn't have enough knowledge to, like, understand completely Siddhanta. So he can't, like, remove everyone's doubts. So that's second-class qualification. And first class qualification is he has full faith and he can convince. Yeah. So then you have another classification, which is based on chanting. But that's now not describing one's qualification, but it's actually describing one's position. So, according to the quality of chanting, you're first, second, or third. So they said, who's a devotee? Anyone who chants. He's a devotee, Kanishtha. But one who's always chanting, and specifically chanting without trying to make offenses, then that's Madhyam. Yeah, general. And then if you see someone and he makes you chant, that's Uttama. Which is, if you want to be a preacher, Uttama in this sense is not Uttama as we discussed yesterday. Exactly. But one can be Uttama, but he comes to Madhyam level, but it doesn't mean he's not Uttama anymore. It doesn't mean now he's like everybody else. He's just come down. But, when people saw Prabhupada and he was so blissful and ecstatic, and they said, I want to be like him. So just by seeing him, they wanted to be Krishna conscious. So it's not that anyone who knows Shastra could go in the middle of New York in 1965 and make devotees, and have the success Prabhupada had. They could have some success if they had faith and knowledge, but Prabhupada's chanting was infecting people. And just by seeing Prabhupada, people were becoming Krishna conscious. So it's a whole package. You have faith, you have knowledge, and you have purity. So that's what's being said here. So I'll just read the verse. We read this last week. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava. Your duty is to serve his lotus feet. So it says first-class Vaishnava here in this verse, but it actually means Madhyam, because next year he described the Uttama. So first class doesn't mean a categorization of 1, 2, and 3. This means, like sometimes we say, yeah, that's first class. It doesn't mean it was the best. It just means it's really good. Is that okay? So, we'll continue reading the purport. The Mayavadis look on Vishnu and Vaishnavas imperfectly due to their poor fund of knowledge. And this is condemned. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46, the intermediate of Vaishnava is described as follows. Ishvare tad adhineshu baliseshu dvishatushta prema maitri kripopeksha yadkoroti samadhyamaha. The intermediate Vaishnava has to love God, make friends with the devotees, instruct the innocent, and reject jealous people. These are the four functions of the Vaishnava in the intermediate stage. So, when one becomes a devotee in the Krishna consciousness movement, they don't act on the Kanishta platform, because the Kanishta platform is you don't know, you don't appreciate devotees, you only appreciate either God, the deity, or your guru, and you don't understand the position of devotees, and you don't preach because you don't care about innocent people. You just care about God. So people may come to the Hare Krishna movement with that mentality, but then they're engaged in preaching. So even though they have that mentality, they don't act that way. So sometimes you can be a madhyam, a kanishtha in mentality, and a madhyam in action, or vice versa, or any combination. So, you know, sometimes an advanced devotee will say, well, I'm a kanishtha. And they'll say, how is your kanishtha, you know? But you're acting like a madhyam, and he might say, yeah, but I think like a kanishtha. I'm envious, I don't like these devotees. But I'm preaching because my guru said, and I'm trying to associate with devotees, but I don't like anybody. So you could actually be kanishtha in your mind, but you're engaged as a madhyam, because that's what a preacher does. You don't preach if you're not at least acting like a madhyam, because madhyam sees, here's a devotee, here's a non-devotee, and here's antagonistic people, so I'll preach to the innocent, avoid the antagonistic, make friends with the devotees, and worship God. So you can look at it two ways. One is, this is how you know a second-class devotee, or this is what you should do because Prabhupada wants you to be second-class. At least live on the second-class platform, even if you have kanishtha mentality. So kanishtha mentality shows up when we don't get along with one another, or shows up when devotees come to the temple only when their guru comes. The guru leaves, you don't see them again. It's only my guru, nobody else. I don't know how to get along with the devotees. I don't really care so much about conditioned souls. I just care about my material life and my comforts. And, you know, we have our deities and Haribol, and we eat our bakuras, and we're all happy. That's a kanishtha mentality. So we may be engaged as in second-class devotional service, but we still have kanishtha mentality. You agree? I mean, I'm not saying you have it, but we see it. I mean, that's for you to decide. I'm not telling you you have conditioned mentality. We just need to understand what it is, and then we can decide to what degree we may manifest it. But we can say, to some degree, when we don't get along, it's a bit of conditioned mentality. Or we only get along with our guru, or our God brothers. Or only get along when our guru is here. Things like that. That's kanishtha, right? Prabhupada had so many disciples that they couldn't get along except because they were trying to serve Prabhupada. But when Prabhupada left, they weren't able to get along. That's a bit of a kanishtha mentality. Only my guru, only God. So then you have the instruction, serve the superior. So the next year, Lord Chaitanya gave the instruction, okay, the highest Vaishnav is the one who makes everyone chant. He's the Uttama. And then what was the instruction? Serve him, make friends with the madhyams, and help the kanishtas, or help the innocent. That's the instruction. So the idea was, well, you have to know who's up, who's equal, and who's below, because you have to act differently. If you don't know who the higher Vaishnava is, how do you take shelter? If you don't know who the equals are, how do you make friends? If you don't know who the lower or the innocent are, non-devotees, how do you preach? So those distinctions are made. Yes? So you know how to behave. Right? But the Kanishtha, he doesn't really know, understand who the devotee is. He doesn't really, it's just there's the deity or there's my guru and that's about it. There's the deity, I worship him and I eat Mahaprasad and everything's good. And the world goes to hell, and that's not really a problem. And that's why if someone is only like, well, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, but later on after he left, some of the temples were not preaching, or not preaching well, or not preaching as Prabhupada felt they should preach. And so they had a temple, they had deities, they could support themselves from donations people would give. So Prabhupada would sometimes comment, that's Kanishtha. You know, you say, well, he has a temple, everything, you know, people are coming and this and that. But Prabhupada said, no, the preacher should go out and give Krishna consciousness. And even people are coming to your temple, but they weren't going out and preaching broadly, publishing books, etc., etc. He would say, that's Kanishtha, you have a temple. Especially if it's a family-run temple and you have a temple and that's how you earn your livelihood, then that's definitely Kanishtha. So sometimes Prabhupada would make a note of that for our understanding. That it's not a very advanced stage if you're just trying to maintain yourself by showing the deity. It's more of a... And as everything in this world is on a continuum, it's not that Kanishtha is just one mentality. You could be lower, middle, or higher. Madhyam can be lower, middle, or higher. And Uttama can be lower, middle, or higher. So, or sometimes, like we're saying, your mind is Kanishtha and your body's Madhyam. So then there's a mixture. You're acting like a Madhyam, thinking like a Kanishtha. Or, in the sense, you're an Uttama, but you're acting like a Madhyam, so you preach, but you're still Uttama. So like we always say, Uttama comes down. He doesn't actually come down to Madhyam. He comes down to that mentality where he can see innocent and distinguish. And otherwise he sees everyone as devotee, but it's not like he lowers his Krishna consciousness. That doesn't happen. That wouldn't make sense, would it? Like, how do you do that? You know, you take a pill. What's the pill? It's called the Madhyam pill. Well, I'm a Uttama, but I have to preach. I take, you know, it doesn't work that way. But because otherwise the Uttama is just, he'll just be a Babaji, just chant. What else is he going to do? Right? And even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had disciples that could chant all day, like could actually do that. And he'd say, go out and preach. Isn't that interesting? Wasn't even like, okay, you know, someone might say, well, all you ISKCON people, you're preaching because you're all passionate and you can't sit.
There are some people that are watching that are saying that the image is sideways.
Oh, yeah. All right, we did it. So, what was the last thing I said? Talking about the Madhyam pill or something? What else? Achyuta, Hare Krishna. So, so Prabhupada, it would take a young devotee and he'd say, go out and preach. So now you're acting on the Madhyam platform and you may not yet have evolved to the Madhyam platform, but you're acting on it. And he would criticize. You open a temple and then you make money and support yourself. That's Kanishtha. And when you go out and give Krishna consciousness. Oh, no. And then I was saying, even though he had, Bhaktisiddhanta had disciples that could chant all day, he said, go out and preach. Because you might think, well, here's an advanced devotee, he can chant all day, so he doesn't have to go out and preach. You'd say, go out and preach. That's Madhyam. So he was a little bit suspicious, yeah. So because until you're advanced, if you just chant all day, material desire might develop in your mind, or may become proud. There's that song, Vaishnav K, what kind of Vaishnav am I? So I'm chanting a lakh or two or three of rounds, but what am I meditating on? I'm meditating on how great I am. So the Madhyams are preachers. Okay. Now we have another verse. Shadavan jana he bhakti adhikari uttama madhyam kanishta shadha anushari. One who is faithful is a proper candidate for devotional service in terms of one's degree of faith in devotional service. One is a first class, second class, or neophyte Vaishnava. So here is the verse which is now analyzing devotees by faith. First we read by chanting, quality of chanting. And now analyzing by faith. One has little faith, whose faith is weak. Sometimes it's called, what's it called? I forget the Sanskrit. Pliable faith. It's like, you know, your faith, you have some faith, and then you go out on the street and someone says, hey, you guys are all brainwashed, and you come back to the temple and you're shaking and you're doubting whether Krishna consciousness is right. There's a word. Anybody know the word for pliable faith? I forget. I think it starts with an L. Can't remember. But that's the lowest stage of faith. You have some faith, but it's very weak and it can be shaken. Right? And then the Madhyam, his faith is firm. And the Uttama, his faith is firm. And as we said, the difference between the Madhyam and the Kanishta and the Uttama is the Madhyam's knowledge is less. So you may have some debate with a Madhyam or have some doubt with a Madhyam. He can't clear it up. He doesn't know the answer. You remain doubtful or he can't defeat you. But the Uttama can clear up all doubts. Next verse. This is all from the purport. Shastra yukti nahi jani dridha shadhavan Madhyam adhikari se maha Bhagavan. One who has attained the intermediate stage is not very advanced in shastric knowledge, but he has firm faith in the Lord. Such a person is very fortunate to be situated in the intermediate position. Intermediate means Madhyam. Rati prema tatramai tatramye, excuse me. Rati prema tatramye bhakta taratama. Attraction and love are the ultimate goal of devotional service. The degrees of such attraction and love for God distinguish the different stages of devotion, neophyte, intermediate, and perfectional. So then you can also evaluate by the basis of Shraddha to Prema. That's another evaluation, Kanishta, Madhyam, Uttama. That's sort of like Bhava, Prema, there's Uttama. And then from Nishta to Asakti is Madhyam, and before that is, that's another way. So they intermingle, because, you know, one sense you're Madhyam because you're preaching, another sense you're Kanishta because you're Bhajana Kriya. And for those of you who don't know Sanskrit or Bengali, Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttama just mean first level, second level, third level. So in Sanskrit, or in Bengali, when you're classifying something, you might say, this is Kanishta, of it's the lowest. Like, okay, this Rasgulla, it's a Kanishta Rasgulla. But if you go to this shop, you get the Madhyam Rasgulla, and you go to that shop, or this temple, they produce the Uttama. Like we might say, this is the ultimate Rasgulla, it's the Uttama Rasgulla. Uttama means transcendental, but when you're classifying, it just means it's first class, it's the top. Then, yeah, this is, you know, I have to buy something, so you go to Best Buy, and they go, well, this is the best one, and these ones are okay, and these are like the budget ones, and they don't last. So these are the Kanishtas, you know, they'll do the job, but they're not that good. These Madhyams, they're pretty good, but if you want really, like, this is the best, Uttama. So that's all this, it's a classification. And the only confusion is it seems like, well, by one classification you fit in one, and by another classification you fit in another. And as I said, part of the confusion is because it's classifying on one hand a person's qualification, and another time it's classifying their eligibility. How, like, okay, these are the yours? Yeah, oh yeah, doing funny things. It's bothering you. Like, okay, you just took your SAT, okay, now you're qualified to get into these schools. So sometimes the classification is like, okay, if you have, the more knowledge, more faith you have, the more quickly you'll advance. So you're Madhyam, or you now you have so much knowledge, you can defeat anyone, and you have so much faith. Now you're in a better position. So it's called Adhikar, Madhyam Adhikari. That's qualification. It doesn't mean you're on the Madhyam platform. That's a different thing. Does that make sense? One is your qualification, how quickly you advance, and one is where you are. Anyway, some things are sometimes a little confusing. You have to study it and learn more, and sometimes we remain a little confused. And sometimes you'll read slightly different classifications, you know. This stage means this, this stage means that, and some other acharya says a little differently, so. But this is a general idea. So what we just read is the degrees of such attraction and love of God distinguish the different stages, neophyte, intermediate, and perfectional. So as I was saying, on the scale of shraddha to prema, you'll get classified up to nishta, that'll be kanishta. From nishta to asakti, that'll be madhyam, and then bhava and prema will be uttama. That's pretty simple, right? But if you're going to confuse it, then Prabhupada said, well, if you get initiated, you should be madhyam. And initiation is bhajana kriya. So that throws the whole thing off. But so we have to be flexible in how we understand things. But at least we can say, what Prabhupada meant, you should be madhyam. You know, you're getting initiated. You should have compassion. You should go out. You should help people. That level you should be on. Right? And you should make friends with devotees. And worship the deity, and avoid the atheist. So that you should be. Okay. An intermediate devotee is greatly attached to chanting the holy name, and by chanting he is elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and Krishna himself. Thus the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent neophytes and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. This is really interesting. The neophyte can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. As I was saying before, what Shastra says is you have to know your position, or Nectar of Instruction says you have to know your position, and then you have to know others' position, because according to, it's like the army, right? Everybody wears their rank on their, isn't it? I mean, I was never in the army. But on the uniform, they wear their rank. So if you're lower and somebody higher comes in, then you salute them, right? What if you didn't know the rank? What would the etiquette be, right? So our shastras say you should know others' rank, so then you know how to deal with them. But you have to know your rank, and then you have to be able to see others' rank. And you know, I mean, maybe if we had a meter, we could go around and go, okay, how advanced are you, and how advanced am I? Okay, you're higher, obeisances to you. You're lower. Sit down, and I'll instruct you. So one of the understandings of this sentence is he knows who's a non-devotee, he knows who's a motivated devotee. That's so he can help them, not so he can criticize them. Oh, Prabhu, you're a motivated devotee. I don't want to look at you, I'll be polluted. No. Motivated devotee, what Prabhupada means motivated devotee is that in the beginning of devotional service, it's not pure. So who is a motivated devotee? That's younger devotees who are motivated. They want to get out of the material. Why did you become a devotee? I wanted to get out of the material world. Okay, that's a motivation. It's not a bad motivation, but still a motivation, right? Well, why did you become a devotee? Well, you know, all the men out there, they're just very gross, grotesque. I wanted to marry a devotee. I liked a devotee man. I thought I'll become a devotee, I'll get a devotee husband. That's a motivation. You're a devotee, but it's a motivation. If I chant Hare Krishna, he'll bless me, we'll have a nice family, and so on. That's a motivation. That's called karma mishra bhakti, or jnana mishra bhakti. I'll get relief from suffering. So that's what Prabhupada means here. When he says motivated devotee, it means when you come to bhakti, you have some motivation. We all do. Which is to relieve distress. That's a motivation. Not a horrible motivation. It got you here. But after 40 years, if that's still your motivation, that's not good. It should. So the madhyam devotee, he sees, oh, here's a younger devotee, here's an innocent person. So what Prabhupada's saying is he doesn't see them to say, hey, you, I'm better than you. You're motivated, I'm not. No, he sees that so he can help them. Oh, here's a younger devotee, I can help them. Does that make sense? Otherwise, someone will read this and think, oh, now I'm supposed to go and analyze everybody to see if they're motivated or not. And if they're motivated, I don't talk to them. That's not what this means. Although I'm sure someone will read this and think like that. You agree? Somebody could understand it like that? Should I read it again? Just so we remember. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. Now, you could read this like, the motivated devotee is the non-devotee. So it sounds like he can identify the non-devotee or the motivated devotee, meaning the non-devotee is the motivated devotee. No, it means he knows who is a non-devotee and he knows who is a neophyte devotee. He identifies them to help them. The motivated devotee or non-devotee are on the material platform, and they are called prakrita. The intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. However, he understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform. Actually, none of them are mundane. So, what Prabhupada is specifically describing here are prakrita bhaktas it's not like we come to devotional service with a sincere desire and we want to advance in devotional service. We just have material desires, but we want to be pure, we're sincere. But there are other prakrita bhaktas that's not their desire, they're devotees, but they want to enjoy. So that's why Prabhupada's saying, then we're not going to intimately associate with people who have no interest really in becoming Krishna conscious. They just are devotees for materialistic purposes. So, then those, if we can't help them, then we would avoid them, bad association. Intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. However, he understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform. Actually, none of them are mundane. Let's read the next verse. Pashantare punatanra ache prasanna koil. Vaishnavera tatram ye prabhu shikoila. Okay, so now what's happening is, what's being recited here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the story that every year the devotees would go to Jagannath Puri, the Bengalis, would go to Jagannath Puri to meet Mahaprabhu. So it's describing three consecutive years, and now this is the third year, and they're going to ask the same question and get the third answer. Different answer. Now Mahaprabhu is going to describe the Uttama this year. So that's what's going on. The following year, the inhabitants of Kulinagram again asked the Lord the same question. Hearing this question, Sri Chaitanya again taught them about the different types of Vaishnavas. So you remember in the last verse, he described the madhyam, said one who's always chanting Hare Krishna, he's the first class devotee. Now in this verse, he uses the same word, first class, but here he means uttama. Now he's describing the uttama. Last year he described the madhyam, the year before he described the kanishtha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. I like to say, the best preaching technique is to become a pure devotee, because people will see you and they'll start chanting Hare Krishna. You don't even have to ask them. They'll just see you. Hare Krishna. Of course, if you wear a dhoti and shaved head and walk around, they'll also chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, get a job. Hare Krishna, nice haircut. Right? But that's not what's being referred to here, although that helps. But it actually, hearts change. And Prabhupada changed so many hearts, people sometimes met Prabhupada. And they became devotees. They just saw him. Like, oh, that's it. I want to do this. Well, I don't know what it is, but I want to do it. I want to serve this person. So that's what happens when you become Uttama. So if you really want to make the world Krishna conscious, become Uttama. And by your association, people's hearts will change. And that's what happened. Our hearts like totally melted in Prabhupada's presence. You see the videos, you see what's going on. Devotees are becoming ecstatic in Prabhupada's presence. Kirtan in Prabhupada's presence, just amazing. Can't describe it. All the emotions devotees were feeling and all the compassion devotees had to go out and distribute books and open temples and like just amazing. That was all through that association. You know, you could say, when you see a first class devotee makes you chant Hare Krishna, he also makes you open temples. He also makes you establish deities. That's what happens when you're with a first class devotee. All these things happen, right? So it's not in there, but that's the implication. Purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if an observer immediately remembers the holy name of Krishna upon seeing a Vaishnava, that Vaishnava should be considered a Mahabhagavata, a first-class devotee. Such a Vaishnava is always aware of his Krishna-conscious duty, and he is enlightened in self-realization. He is always in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and this love is without adulteration. Because of this love, he is always awake to transcendental realization. Because he knows that Krishna consciousness is the basis of knowledge and action, he sees everything connected with Krishna. Such a person is able... In other words, we were discussing yesterday, what does it mean in the Bhagavatam verse? What does it mean to be in Maya? And what does it mean to be Krishna conscious? A Krishna conscious person sees everything related to Krishna. You know, in one of the early Hare Krishna movies, they show devotees, I think they were making garlands, and they quoted Prabhupada said, he said, an ordinary boy, when he sees a flower, he thinks, I'll pick this flower and give it to my girlfriend. And the devotee says, oh, I'll pick this flower and give it to Krishna. Right? So a devotee sees everything. Oh, that would be, look at that. Look at that marble, it's beautiful. That would be so nice for the deity room, right? Or look at that picture frame. That's so beautiful. We could put up, could use those in the temple. It's always connected to Krishna, right? And non-devotee means always disconnected. It's always me. We connect it to me. Devotee means connected to Krishna. Maya means connected to me. Really simple, isn't it? ABCs, right? So, first-class Vaishnava, he cannot see anything that wouldn't be used in Krishna service because he doesn't see anything for his own service. Nothing's about my sense gratification. It's all about Krishna's sense gratification. Did you know that? I have to inform you that being a devotee means you're only concerned about Krishna's sense gratification, not your own. If you don't like that, you join the wrong movement because that's what Krishna consciousness is. It's all about Krishna's sense gratification, not ours, right? So first-class Vaishnava, he can only see things in terms of Krishna's sense gratification. He has no desire for himself. He only thinks, how Krishna would enjoy this, right? And conditioned souls like, well, you know, I would like that. And then we go, bang our head, no, I shouldn't think that way, right? I'm supposed to think it's for Krishna. But the first-class devotee doesn't have to bang his head anymore. That's just how he sees. And why? Because when you love Krishna, when you love somebody, you don't think about yourself anymore, right? You love Krishna. First class devotee, he loves Krishna so much, he can't think about not giving everything to Krishna. It automatically just goes. Isn't it? You love, right? You, all you mothers, you know, you love your children. Everything goes to them. If there's one apple and your kid's hungry, you'll give it to them. That's love. You won't think, I'm eating that apple, you're going to starve. No, love is you give, right? So first class Vaishnava loves Krishna. Everything in the world is for Krishna, nothing for me. Prabhupada said that. Did you know that? Prabhupada said, my motto is, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. So, you know, if you're not a devotee, and then someone said, what's the Hare Krishna movement? What I want to join. What do I have to understand? He said, everything for Krishna, nothing for you. They'd be running out the door in like half a second. Isn't it? But when you're a devotee, you said, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. You said, wow. Perfect. Because there's love there. Yes? No? But does that make you feel anxious? If you say, nothing for me, how will I live? What will I have? No. Everything for Krishna, and Krishna will give you back what you need. It's not like he won't have anything. Right? Look at the Hare Krishnas. They're all fatter than everybody else. Krishna gives them prasadam. All the prasadam they can eat. More prasadam than they need. Right? So, but we're giving it all to Krishna. He's giving it back. You know, there's no lack. Yeah. Your bellies are full. Your pockets are full. Your houses are full with stuff. There's no lack. But the devotee thinks everything for Krishna. Every room, every square inch of my house for Krishna. That's it. Right? You have to think that way when you have love. Right? Isn't it? That's what love means. How could you think of yourself when you love somebody else? You don't. Right? So that's a first class devotee. Such a Vaishnava is always aware of his Krishna conscious duty and is enlightened in self-realization. He's always in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this love is without adulteration. Because of this love, he is always awake to transcendental realization. Because he knows that Krishna consciousness is the basis of knowledge and action, he sees everything connected with Krishna. Such a person is able to chant the holy name of Krishna perfectly. Such a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava has the transcendental eyes to see who is sleeping under the spell of Maya, and he engages himself in awakening sleeping conditioned souls by spreading the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He opens eyes that are closed by forgetfulness of Krishna. Thus the living entity is liberated from the dullness of material energy and is engaged fully in the service of the Lord. The Madhyamadakari Vaishnava can awaken others to Krishna consciousness and engage them in duties whereby they can advance. It is therefore said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, lohake javat sparshi hima nohi kori. Tovat sparshamani keho chinite na pori. One cannot understand the value of touchstone until it turns iron into gold. One should judge by action, not by promises. A Mahabhagavat can turn a living entity from abominable material life to the Lord's service. Now this is interesting. Here's another confusion. Mahabhagavat. So when we say Mahabhagavat, it means great devotee. So we say Mahabhagavat, we usually think Uttama Adhikari. And it's being described here, Uttama Adhikaris. When you see them, hari, 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 you start chanting. And here it said that the Mahabhagavat can turn people from abominable activities into devotees. But we see that going on in the Krishna conscious movement. People are coming, we preach to them, and they're becoming devotees. Does that mean we're Mahabhagavats? Should we have a debate now? If I can turn someone into a devotee, am I a Mahabhagavat? And the answer is, maybe. Because... You don't like that answer? You want something more definite? Mahabhagavat means great devotee. It doesn't always mean Uttama Adhikari. So when Prabhupada says Mahabhagavat, we tend to think, oh, that's the first class Vaishnava. It might just mean great devotee. But at least, whether you agree with me or not, maybe means yes, or maybe means no. Maybe it means you. Maybe it means Vijay. Maybe it means Gopi Gita. She's turning all the kids into devotees. He's turning thousands of people into devotees by meeting them and giving them books. Is he a Mahabhagavat? Is she a Mahabhagavat? Maybe. Maybe that's what Prabhupada means. I'll leave that for you to decide. But the point is, our devotees in the Krishna conscious movement are doing what Prabhupada said a Mahabhagavat does. Let me read it again. See if you agree. Such a Mahabhagavata Vaishnava has the transcendental eyes to see who is sleeping under the spell of Maya, and he engages himself in awakening sleeping conditioned souls by spreading the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He opens eyes that are closed by forgetfulness of Krishna. Thus the living entity is liberated from the dullness of material energy and engaged fully in the service of the Lord. Now, the problem is solved. It was solved in the verse before. In the sentence before, I spaced out. The Madhyam Adhikari Vaishnava can awaken others to Krishna consciousness and engage them in duties. The Prabhupada is saying a Madhyam can awaken them to Krishna consciousness. And then the next verse is that you can understand a Vaishnava by how he turns iron into gold by making devotees. One should judge by action, not promises. A Mahabhagavat can turn a living being from abominable material life to the Lord's service. The test of a Mahabhagavat, this is the test of a Mahabhagavat. Although preaching is not meant for a Mahabhagavat can descend to the platform of Madhyam just to convert others to Vaishnavism. Actually, a Mahabhagavat is fit to spread Krishna consciousness, but he does not distinguish where Krishna consciousness should be spread from where it should not. He thinks everyone is competent to accept Krishna consciousness. So this is really interesting. This is getting really interesting, everyone, and I'll tell you why. We were just discussing how Mahabhagavat, he sees everyone as a devotee, so there's no one to preach to, right? Are you going out today on Sankirtan? No, there's nobody to preach to. What do you mean? They're all devotees. How can I, just like, you know, preaching to the choir, you know? Why should I give them books? They're all devotees, right? And we would think, Prabhu, what have you been smoking, you know? Or you don't understand the philosophy, right? And so here Prabhupada's saying, a Mahabhagavat will come down to Madhyam and preach, but he has transferred his Mahabhagavat mentality, and he sees, instead of seeing everyone's a devotee, he sees everyone's fit to be a devotee, as opposed to discriminating. No, he's a rascal, we don't get near him, right? Because you're supposed to make friends with the devotees, preach the innocent, avoid the ignorant. And here Prabhupada's saying when the Madhyam comes down, he just transfers that mentality. Now, instead of seeing everyone as a devotee, he sees everyone potentially as a devotee. So he doesn't even discriminate against the atheist. And we do that also. Sometimes we avoid them, but we're pretty merciful, right? I mean, in a sense, you could say the preachers in Krishna consciousness don't perfectly follow the rules of the second class, because the second class should avoid demoniac and atheistic. And we don't always avoid them. We're pretty merciful. At least we give them pakoras and halava, right? Temple's open. We don't know who's coming in, isn't it? So I find that interesting. It's like Prabhupada's this Mahabhagavat, great devotee, he comes down, second class, but when he comes down, he says, okay, we'll give Krishna consciousness to everyone, because that's what Mahaprabhu did. And we kind of adopt that mentality. So we have this like Mahabhagavat mood, and just as it Mahabhagavat mood in the second class platform. Is everybody can be a devotee. Right? We don't say, oh, you're a rascal, it says right here in my book, I shouldn't talk to you. No, we'll give you a chance. We just, what, you know, if it's going nowhere, then we're not going to spend more time, we're not going to cause you to make offenses by arguing with you, but we're pretty open, and that's right there in the CC, that's what Mahaprabhu did. So, I find that interesting. He thinks everyone is competent to accept Krishna consciousness if the chance is provided. A neophyte and intermediate devotee should always be anxious to hear the Mahabhagavat and serve him in every respect. The neophyte and intermediate devotee can gradually rise to the platform of Uttama Adhikari and become first-class devotees. Symptoms of a first-class devotee are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Like this first, second, and third class, you'll find the nectar devotion, you'll find it in the Bhagavatam, and you'll find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the different. So sometimes there's a little confusion, slightly different. So here's what the Bhagavatam says. Sarva bhuteshu yat prasyad bhagavad bhalavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavat hatmani esha bhagavata bhagavatotama. When teaching Sanatana Goswami, the Lord further said, shastra yukte sunipuna dridha shadha janra utama adhikari se tare shangshar. Prabhupada didn't translate that Bhagavatam verse. Sarva bhuteshu yat prasyad, he sees all living entities, bhagavad bhavam atmana, in relation to Krishna. And he's a first-class devotee. Then, instead of giving the translation, Prabhupada quotes what Mahaprabhu told Siddhartha Goswami. If one is expert in Vedic literature and has full faith in the Supreme Lord, then he is an Uttama Adhikari, a first-class Vaishnava, topmost devotee. And he can deliver the whole world and turn everyone to Krishna consciousness. With great love and affection, the Mahabhagavat observes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotional service, and the devotee. He observes nothing beyond Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and Krishna's devotees. The Mahabhagavat knows that everyone is engaged in the Lord's service in different ways. He therefore descends to the middle platform to elevate everyone to the Krishna conscious position. So, to me, the essence, or one thing that inspires me, is that we were talking about how, you know, as you advance, it's not like it's just one day you're Madhyam and one day you're Uttama, but you gradually advance, right, higher and higher, and then you start becoming, your taste for the holy names is increasing, you want to chant more, you're going deeper, like that. So, from my personal experience, the most effective way to spread Krishna consciousness beyond doubt, is to be Krishna conscious. It's not some technique, you know, learn how to do it this way or speak this way or distribute this way. It's your association. That's the idea. Devotees like Chintamani, you get in his association, you change. So Prabhupada said, we establish a Krishna conscious movement so people could come here and get sadhu sangha, right? So there has to be some sadhus to have the sangha with, right? If they come here and there's no sadhus or no sat, then there's no satsangha or sadhu sangha. There's just sangha, a kanishta sangha. And if the Hare Krishna movement is kanishta sangha, we can only make other people kanishta, right? Because you only make people like yourself. So if we advance more, then when people come and get sangha, then they advance more. So the best thing we can do to spread Krishna consciousness is to give our association and therefore be better association. And the better association we are, the more people advance. Yes, you agree? So Prabhupada said this movement is for pure devotees, so that everyone can become a pure devotee because we engage in pure devotional service. And if we don't engage in pure devotional service, then people will come here and they won't learn what pure devotional service is. They'll learn something else, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, this mishra, that mishra. Yes? You agree? So we'll stop here. You have any comments or questions or doubts or disagreements? Yes? Yes? Well, Prabhupada thought like that also. I'm not doing anything. It's a paradox, right? The Prabhupada's saying, I'm doing nothing. It's all my Guru Maharaj. Okay, that's true, right? But unless you're Mahabhagavat, why would you say that? if you're not very advanced, you go, I'm doing it. How's you today? I did 100 Bhagavad Gitas. I'm the man. You know? So I'm not denying what you're saying. Both are true. And we should always think that way. Well, that's part of the thinking of an advanced devotee. No, we never think we're doing it. But the sky is falling. We never think we're doing it, but we're destroying our. We always think that way. And we're not going to think I'm a Mahabhagavat. That would be...
What did you learn in today's class? I learned... Mahaprabhu said I'm a Mahabhagavat.
That's what I learned. What are you? Mahabhagavat means great devotee. And we're never going to think we're great devotees. That would be crazy. I've realized... What was your realization today? I realized I'm a great devotee. Oh, really? We need to talk. So yes, we should always think it is Prabhupada doing it, I'm not doing it. No. No, we should. We all are supposed to distinguish. But the more less advanced you are, the more difficult it will be. But the idea is you have to distinguish who's more advanced because you have to take a guru. So you have to know who's more advanced than you because that's guru. And you have to take siksha, so you have to know who's more advanced. So the higher devotee, so, you know, it's relative. So, okay, maybe he's a madhyam, but he's higher than you, so he's your guru. And maybe you're kanishta or lower madhyam, so you're the disciple. So Prabhupada says that in Nectar Devotion. The guru is the uttama, and the disciple is the kanishta or madhyam. He said, but sometimes the madhyam, even the kanishta, be guru, but their disciples have to be lower. They'll always be less. And, you know, it has happened that the disciple surpasses the guru. It's not impossible. And the guru is happy if he surpasses. If my disciple surpasses me, wow, I did my job. That's good. So that can happen also. Of course, the disciple will never think that, like that, and never disrespect the guru. But I want to get back to your other question. Individually, as I said, we think, yeah, Prabhupada is doing it all. And Prabhupada said very clearly, it's not me, it's my spiritual master. That's the proper consciousness. But what we see in our movement is we have many empowered devotees. And sometimes, maybe you have this experience, you're cultivating somebody, right? And they're coming. And then one sannyasi comes, and after that they're like, I'm in, sign me up. He's amazing. You've seen that? Yeah. So that's what I'm referring to. It's not like we just want to say, well, you know, it's all Prabhupada and we're like nobody. That's how he thinks. But our vision is we can see it is Prabhupada, but Prabhupada's mercy is flowing so much because he's so advanced that now when people see him, they're motivated. Something changes in their heart, their lives change, and they want to be Krishna conscious. That's a, you know, if we have faith, it builds faith in other people. And if that faith is flowing and people see it, it affects them and it moves them. So the word Mahabhagavat, you can use it in a very broad sense. Like you can use the word pure devotee in a broad sense. As Prabhupada used those words in broad sense. So if we want to use it in a broad sense, then we can say someone whose presence is transforming others' hearts is a Mahabhagavat. And then you might say, well, is he a Mahabhagavat like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur or Prabhupada? Well, not really, but I can say he's a Mahabhagavat because every time he comes here, people become devotees that were on the edge. So I couldn't make them devotees. I've kept them on the edge, you know, for 10 years. And this Maharaj comes and like, whoa, one class and they're over the edge. Or they just see him do a kirtan and they go, oh, that's it. We've all seen that, right? So, yes, that's Prabhupada's mercy coming through. But why is it coming through more that person than somebody else? Because they're more advanced, they're more transparent. Is that okay? Yeah. So it's always, the devotee will always think it's my guru's mercy. And we'll always understand Prabhupada is the Mahabhagavat. But Prabhupada said something really, I think really meaningful. He was on a morning walk. And he drove, not on a morning walk, he drove up to the beach. The devotees were waiting for him. He got out of the car. And so when Prabhupada would get out of the car, devotees would say, Jai Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. They would always say like that. And then he would go on his walk, and then he would go in the car to go back to temple, and then all glories to Srila Prabhupada. You know, that's just the protocol we had. So Prabhupada once said, when they did that, all glories to Prabhupada, he said, I will be glorious when every one of my disciples becomes guru. So, you know, Prabhupada expected us to be Chintamani touchstones, that we would change people's hearts. And he expected we would be Mahabhagavat in that sense, that we could make others devotees. So Mahabhagavat you can use in a broad or a refined definition. And Prabhupada often used big wide definitions, and Shastra may use more, you know, textual or academic definitions. And Prabhupada just take them and say, no, that includes so many of you. Pure devotee. All my disciples are pure devotees. Well, I just read what a pure devotee is. I don't see my God brothers and God sisters like that. And Prabhupada saw, no. You'll do whatever I say, you're a pure devotee. You're going out all day on book distribution, you're a pure devotee. Tribhari said, Prabhupada, will we become self-realized by distributing books? Prabhupada said, you already are. How could you go out every day if you weren't self-realized? Different vision. You see? Is that okay? Yes. Yes. You need your phone? Bye-bye, everyone. Yeah, 1 second. If you want to see, continue, watch the Mayapur TV, ISKCON Dallas. But the phone is leaving. Mahabhagavat never falls. So your question? Yes. Today's Mahabhagavat, tomorrow he's pumping gas at the petrol station. Well, not every spiritual master is Mahabhagavat. So it's more of a question of how can a spiritual master fall, isn't it? Right? So historically, it happens. ISKCON is not the first to create the history of a guru falling. No, I wouldn't say the only, because we have so many that haven't fallen. And the envious are waiting for them to fall and taking, you know, bets on it. But so many haven't fallen, so we can't say, you know, the ones who fell were immature. But amongst at least the level of spiritual masters in the last like 10 or 15 years, maybe like 2 have had trouble out of 100. So those problem days are kind of over. Those were when those gurus were like 30 years old and, you know, just starting out in their career and not exactly knowing what they're doing and not so mature. But at least we can say, historically speaking, gurus have fallen. It does happen. Maya's everywhere. She doesn't show mercy to anyone. What? Yeah. Lord Brahma, you know, he had problems. And Vyasadeva had problems, and, you know. But, of course, in our disciplic succession, the Mahabhagavats, nobody had problems. But some of their disciples who became gurus occasionally had problems because we're, you know, if we're conditioned souls, that means there's some disease there, and it means there can be relapse, right? So, but someone who's strict, they'll be okay. They won't have problems. We don't see so many problems anymore. So it shouldn't be a reason not to accept a guru. Well, maybe he'll fall. Yeah, maybe he won't. And even if he does, you have Prabhupada and you have can have as many six-year gurus as you want. Right? No limit to the six-year gurus you want. Okay? So you're all hungry? You want to take prasadam? Is that the next program? The next gig? Suffer sad on the deal of life. All right, thank you very much for coming. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premananda. Dai go Premanandi, hari hari bo. Dai go Premanandi, hari hari bo. Go Premanandi, hari hari bo.